kindly recite Salawat of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Kindly recite Surah Al-Fatiha li arwahi shahada. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim maliki mad-din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in ihdina s-sirat al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم صل على محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين خالق السماوات والأرضين ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين الروحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أوليهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات محمد الحمد لله and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has given us the opportunity to amongst the lovers and followers of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And may Allah give us tawfiq that we may able to associate and do tamassuk bi wilayat Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Apart from what I'm saying, it's been in the hadith that miser is not the one who do not give his money and wealth. Miser is the one who is miser in reciting salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So wherever and whenever is appropriate, so recite with your heart. This salawat, it's not only just gives blessings and showered blessings of Allah upon us, but also it gives a feeling, a love, an affection with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So it gives strength and power and energy to us. May Allah give us the tawfiq that we may associate ourselves truly and purely with Quran, that is Kalam Allah, and to Ahlul Bayt, that is the infallible progeny of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We were discussing about the perfection of mankind and how a person can achieve excellence in one's life. How truly and purely a person can associate himself and herself and relate with Quran and with Ahlul Bayt. لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. As Quran says, that no one can touch, come close to Quran except the person who is pure. And that's been explicitly mentioned in the narrations in the books of Shia and Sunnah, that Ahlul Bayt have that elevated status to be with Quran. And there is no doubt, although lately, or not lately means it's from the time, especially from the time Muawiyah and onwards, Banu Umayyah, then Banu Abbas, they try to hide the elevated status of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. The event which I narrated last night, it was which event? The event in which Amir al-Mu'mineen with his companion Hazrat Salman al-Farsi walking through the valley of ants, and ants came to look to the face of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And why? Because an-nazar fi wajhi Ali ibadah, that looking to the face of Ali, just to look to the face of Ali, it's ibadah. So what about the one who follows the path of Ali? Looking to someone is the beginning. When you go to the Kaaba, what you do first? You look to the Kaaba. Then you start to perform the tawaf and umrah and all those things. So when the beginning is with ibadah, what about the following steps of Ali ibn Abi Talib? Following the ideology of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it's not that it's something's been created by us, the Shia. Rather, it's been explained explicitly in the ahadith from the Holy Prophet that Ali has that elevated status and place, and the progeny coming after him, which were been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not appointed by the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet Muhammad, he did not appointed those people. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Balligh ma unzila ilayk. Now this balligh, this command to Allah, to explain the wilaya, in that supremacy and that elevated place of Ahlul Bayt to the people. And the hadith similar to those, this hadith, like the, that Ali, your status to me is just like Harun to Musa alayhi salam. Except that no prophet will come after me. What is this? It shows that level of confidence, that level of ilm, that level of taqwa, that level of commitment, the same level of commitment which was in the Holy Prophet, the same level of commitment is in Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Imams after him as well. It's not that the mission of Holy Prophet Muhammad was something else, and the objectives and mission of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Ahlul Bayt was something else. No, they were in the same line. Ala sirat al-mustaqim. There are only two paths. There are only two paths. Sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. There is one of the sirat. The sirat on which Allah showers His ni'mah, His bounties and blessings. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. An'am. In'am. It's the blessings and bounties. And the other is غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And the other one is the cursed one, where the person gets the wrath of Allah. So there is two paths. What do you think? Where Ali went? On the sirat, in on which Allah has showered His blessings, or it was against it? No one has said like that. So when Ali is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, we don't want to discuss what, where other people goes, where they have gone. We stick to one person on which we have confidence that he has not gone stray. He hasn't deviated. There wasn't any inharaf. There wasn't any zalala, there wasn't any deviation in distortion in his understandings. We have confidence. So if we follow him and his path and his progeny, which were been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we should be someone that who has the most confidence in the true essence of Islam. We should be the people with the full confidence that yes, they are the true flag bearers of Islam. They are just not the followers. Because responsibility of the progeny of Ahlul Bayt was not to follow truly and completely and absolutely to follow the Quran. Rather, they were to be flag bearers. They were the people to hold the Quran, to interpret the Quran, to establish the principles, the norms, which would be established and asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quranic verses. Qali Rasul Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Nalai Hadri.
Ya Ali. It's the my request to the ladies behind the curtains that let me concentrate on my speech so can I deliver easily. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. When we say the path of Imam Hussein, what was different? What Imam did? What Imam did? Wasn't there people over there in the army of Yazid that they were not offering their prayers? They were offering their prayers. They were offering their salat. Even if you remember that Amr ibn Sa'd asked Shimr that to finish Imam Hussein and behead him so we can go and offer our prayers, our Asr prayers. So they used to offer their prayers. They used to fast, observe fasting. They used to recite Quran. They were being huffaz, memorizers of Quran in the army of Yazid. So when on the both sides, there were people who were offering salat. On the both sides, there were people who were the memorizers and reciters of Quran. On the both sides, there were the people who used to observe fasting. On the both sides, when there is a people, they used to offer their du'as and zikr ilahi. So what difference really Imam Hussein made? What he did? One of the aspects, this is only one of the aspects, one of the key aspects that he able to make people understand that the way Muawiyah and after him Yazid, the basic things were been distorted in the time of Muawiyah. What happened? That he separated the principles and laws of Quran from politics and administration. They themselves, Muawiyah and Yazid and people coming after them as the leaders, they used to lead salat as well. They used to lead prayers as well. So they used to recite Quran as well. Okay. The thing which Imam stopped and at least able to aware the people of that time and time to come in future, that Quran, the principles of Quran, the principles laid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for the entire mankind and for their whole life, complete life. You cannot separate your economic and financial principles from Quran. If riba is haram, haram. If interest is haram, is haram. That's it. You cannot say, no, this is something dealing with the financial and social things and economic things and nothing to do with the religion. Politics, administration, Quran will say. Education, Quran have to say, and we have to follow that. In family structure, you cannot say if a girl and a boy mutually they have agreed that they should live together, so it's okay. No. They have to do nikah. They have to go through the process through which Allah has asked them to go through. We cannot say because it's become norms, so now it's become, so we can say no, it's okay. No. If something has been made halal and permissible, it will be halal. And if something has been made prohibited and haram, so it will remain haram and prohibited. So we have to follow. Imam said that the separation of our political and social life from our individual lives is wrong according to the Quranic teachings. We cannot separate. We cannot separate. Why all these Muslim states, why we say Muslim states, why we don't say Islamic states? Because they don't have the Islamic principles in their constitutions. And Imam Hussein said, and draw a line with his blood, that this is the right thing and that is the wrong thing. What the Yazid and his father did and they are doing is wrong. And although their wrongdoings were not being stopped, because Banu Umayyah established their empire, then Banu Abbas came, and after even the Fatimians, they came, and after that all these states, Muslim states, you can see. In all those states, except one, I can say at least, or one and a half right now, others, they don't even care about it. They don't even care about it. If you don't say that one and a half country, they have Islamic rulings, at least they care about it and they are concerned about it. But others, they don't care about it. They are not even concerned about it. Whether that rule which is in the constitution is right or wrong. The judiciary that they are giving their rulings, is it according to Quranic teachings and the teachings of the Holy Prophet or not? They don't care about it. They don't care about it. Even the country like Pakistan, which was established and has been named Islamic Republic of Pakistan, over there they have two separate judiciary system. Conventional judiciary system, which follow the British laws, and the other Sharia judiciary system. A person can go and opt it. But many times, they doesn't have the complete infrastructure in that. Well, I don't want to go into those details. But the thing is that the difference Imam alayhi salam made, one of the biggest aspects is that he make aware those people and come in the future, that the path, the separation of Quran from our economics, separation of Quran from our politics and administration, separation of Quran from our education, separation of Quran from our judiciary, separation of Quran from our education, separation of Quran from our family system and norms. That is important. Where we are going, offering our prayers, but our earnings are against the principles of Quran. Offering our prayers, but our rulings are against Quran. Imam alayhi salam gave his life to save the sanctity of Quran, rather the sanctity of the teaching and the principle of Quran and the teachings of the Holy Prophet and his progeny, to save the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Save the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. It's just not, if we separate Salat, if we separate Sawm with economics, with politics, with social norms and social cultural things, lots of times we say, it's just culture, nothing to do with religion. Where the culture comes from? Where culture comes from? Culture always comes from an ideology. And behind that ideology, there is a philosophy. And behind that philosophy, at times, there's a group of philosophers and
think tanks, and sometimes there's an influential philosopher that a group of people, thinkers, accept it, and those who are the policy makers, so they say, okay, now we have to implement that policy, go through in our, put it in our culture. And surprisingly, I can't recall those name of the philosophers which has given the philosophies that the freedom is equal to nudity. Now, if a group of thinkers and policymakers have accepted that philosophy, how they will implement that philosophy? That cannot be implemented until it goes through a cultural change. Cultural change. Now you can read something somewhere that people can go and walk as they wish. Men can marry a man, women can marry a woman, is the freedom. But wearing a hijab, it's not a freedom, it's something extremism. Why? If walking nude on the streets is freedom, then why walking with veil and hiding yourself with hijab is not freedom? It's something stupidity in making fool of the people. And it's a new type of what we say, that making people oppressed while they are living the thing they are living free, but they are not free to do what they want. They are free to do what those thinkers and policy makers think that they should be doing. Why, when you come to the education, why we come to the education, it becomes norms. It's not the things which just started just a few years back. It started maybe 15, 20 years back. Lots of our kids, which goes on a school, what they say? Oh my gosh, what is gosh? Who is gosh? There is nothing gosh. Yes, that's what they want us to learn. There is nothing like God. Say, that's why I say something like gosh, which doesn't have any meaning. Gosh, what is gosh? So now we don't say, oh my God. Because it hurt the feelings of those atheists. So we should not say something like that. But if atheists say gosh, and it hurts the feeling of the believers who believe in Allah, that is Muslim, Christian, Judaism, Hindus and other people, nothing doing with that. So, it's gradual, you can see it. This is what's been changing over there in the time of Muawiyah, and then later on Yazid, and then it carried on. And that's what Imam Ali at his time, you can read in Nahjul Balagha, and same sentences has been repeated or narrated by Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that the people has made ma'roof munkar, and munkar as ma'roof. The things which has the Islamic values has been changed into something undesirable thing. Desirable acts of Allah has been changed into undesirable act, and undesirable act has been now been praised, and people like them. In our parties right now, in the parties like business parties, if somebody doesn't drink, people laugh at it. Oh, you don't drink? It's a social gathering, man. Just have a sip of it. Why? But if you say, no, I don't take Coke, I don't take this soda, it has sugar, it has this thing. Okay, it's all right. you are health conscious. But if you don't take alcohol, you are religious, you are fanatic. It's the mindset the media is making. And we are falling that. We are falling in their trap. We are falling in their trap. The only way to save ourselves and to save our children and progeny to come is to strengthen our centers. Strengthen our centers not just by building big mosques and centers. Just don't give only hardwares, give softwares to them. It's good to have a good hardware. It's okay. Like if your PC is, we can say that it's a Pentium 3 sort of, I can say if it's not insult to the center. Okay, you would like to go have i5 or i7 or something more than that. It's good. But if you are going to put the same software which is running in Pentium 3, then what the sense of having Pentium or i5 or i7? If you want to take the i5 and i7, then there should be good softwares in those systems. So if you want to go to the towards the center, to build a center, to make a center, its infrastructure, it's very good and it's essential. It's essential. But beside it, it's not the only thing. You buy it and put it in your cupboards. No. Or decorate it. No. The thing is that what you give to yourself, because we need ourselves to remind ourselves, to teach our children to come, is the good softwares. Good softwares. And this is what Imam al-Islam says. So people, our children can able to differentiate, and not only to differentiate that what is good and what is bad, but also they have that spiritual grooming and that intellectual capability to rationalize their selection. If they are not enough knowledgeable, they will fall into a trap which is being made by unfortunately people around and the governments and people and the agencies around the world. It's not only in this part of the world, but all around the world is like that. Kindly recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. La yamassahu illa al-mutahirun. That we cannot associate ourselves with Ahlul Bayt just by saying that we are Husayni, we are Alawi, we are the lovers and followers of Ahlul Bayt. We are the people who are waiting for the reappearance of Imam al-Asr. No, we have to prove it. If you go to a university and just sit over there in a Madison University and sit over there for 5 years, that I am a doctor, I am a doctor, I am a doctor. Even if a person sits not only 5 years, even if he sits for 50 years, that person will not become a doctor. In Persian it's been said that ba halwa halwa kardan dahan shirin nami shabat. Just by giving that it's sweet, is sweet, our mouth is not becomes sweeter until we take that sweet into our mouths. Only then it will become. So if the teaching of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, it's sweet, is something delightful for our souls and our minds and our hearts, so then it should go through our souls, it should go through our hearts, it should go through our minds. And only then our hands, our fingers, our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our feet, they will work according to that. according to that. Just by saying that we are the followers of Quran and followers of Ahlul Bayt, nothing going to be benefit us. Nothing going to benefit us until we go through it. So لا يمسه المطهرون. So to come closer to Ahlul Bayt, we have to become pious. We have to become the true followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And what to do for that? قال رسال صلوات محمد وعلى محمد. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, very explicit and simple and very easy verses to understand. What it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that true mu'mineen and believers are successful. How come they are successful? Allah has given first that glad tiding to the people and good believers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who really care about their salat, their prayers. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنَ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Who avoid to involve themselves in something which is useless. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَعَلُونَ. And those who give zakat and charity, and in other meaning, those who purify themselves. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And those who keep themselves in the state of chastity and pure, away from sins. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who are responsible to the responsibilities which has been given to them. So they are, it's just the example of several qualities which a real follower of Quran and Ahlul Bayt should possess. Those qualities. It's been said, because it's always in the time of Imam Ali, in the time of Imam Hassan, in the time of Imam Hussein, in the time of Imam Sajjad, and even in the time of Imams who came after him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
What was that? What was that? There was always been media propaganda. Whatever media at that time was. In the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, pulpit. There were been several thousand pulpits from which Imam Ali and his progeny were being cursed officially by those mullahs and those leaders, prayer leaders appointed by Banu Umayyah at that time. So they used to use those media and propaganda. But the thing is that the people who are awliyaullah, those who are the believers in Allah, those who are the friends of Allah, they do not fall into the trap of enemies. The Quran says in Surah An-Qabut, قال لسا سلوات محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
It's been said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Kabut, verse number 41. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءِ The example of those people who take friends and their awliya and their superior other than Allah, their example is like someone كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَ بَيْتَ Like it's like the spider that it makes the their web. And spider thinks that its web is the strongest place. And we know that. And Allah says that in أَوْهَنَ الْبِيُوتِ بَيْتَ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ That the weakest of bait, the weakest of house is the house of and web of the spider. So if we associate ourselves to other than Allah, it's just like that. We have been into the web of spider. We think it looks like that it's been very strong, but Allah says it's the weakest one. And in Surah Saf, in the Surah Saf, it's been mentioned, يُرِيدُونَ لَيُدْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتَمَّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرَهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ They, what would they want? The mushrikeen, the infields, what they want? They want لَيُدْفِعُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ They want to extinguish the flame and the light of Islam. But Allah has decided and committed to establish Islam. That for Allah, it is nothing. For Allah, all their power, their might, their nuclear power, their arms, and whatever power they have, the economic power, whatever they have, all in all together, it's nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like a blowing of wind. That's it. Blowing of wind from your mouth. How you blow a wind is for Allah, it's so easy to destroy them. To destroy them. You see yourselves. A few storms came over here and you see what a disaster it becomes. Every year there's a storm, isn't it? And always is a female storm over there. Because name is female strong, what I can say. Well, so it's just the example to show to us. But the strength of men is into the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To associate himself and herself to Allah. To associate himself and herself to Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And if a person is being associated with Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, that even a small child feel the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his heart. And you can see this, it's so obvious in the event of Karbala. So obvious, so clear for the people who ponder. For the people who ponder. In the field of Karbala, in the ninth of Muharram, that everyone was being preparing himself for tomorrow's battle. Battle is going to happen on the 10th of Muharram. They were preparing themselves. Some of them were reciting Quran. Some were been offering duas. Some of them were just preparing themselves for the battle, preparing their swords, the arrows and spears and those things. In one of the camps, there was been a lady over there. Talking to his two little kids and asking to Aun and Muhammad, did you know that tomorrow is the day which has been promised from before? Tomorrow is the day when your uncle Imam Hussein will face lots of challenges and atrocities from enemies. Aun and Muhammad, would you give me that pride? And would you go forward in the battlefield and sacrifice your lives for me? Because you know that every lady over here has a son who's going to sacrifice himself. Qasim will go and will be the proud for his mother. Ali Akbar will sacrifice himself and would be the proud to his mother. Abbas will go and he will be the proud to his mother and sacrifice themselves. You know what those kids told to their mother? Mother, how come you are asking me something like that? Don't you know who we are? From your side, our grandfather is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And from our father's side, Jafar al-Tayyar is our grandfather. How we can sit behind and see our uncle to die? No, you will see that tomorrow we will be in front and we will fight with bravery in the battlefield. The 10th of Muharram came. The Ashab, companions and friends, they laid their lives. They sacrificed their lives. When at the turns come to the Ahlul Bayt, Ali Akbar gave his life, Qasim gave his life. Then Hazrat Zainab asked Aun Muhammad, go and seek permission from your uncle. Seek permission from your uncle. Allahu Akbar. These two brothers went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said, Ya Amma, O my uncle, allow us to go into the battlefield and sacrifice ourselves. Let this enemy show that we are the grandsons of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Let us show that we are the grandson of Jafar al-Tayyar. That we are the sons of Aqil. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein hugged both of them and said, How I can give you the permission to go into the battlefield? You are the beloved sons of my sister Zainab. They went back to their mother and then said, they complained, Mother, my uncle Imam Hussein, he's not giving us permission. Then Zainab came behind the curtains and said, Hussein, don't you love me? Don't you want to see me on the day of judgment that I give with pride in front of my mother, that look, mother, I have sacrificed my children? Hussein said, but they are kids and they are the beloved kids of you. How come I give permission to them? Then when Hazrat Zainab pleaded, Imam Hussein gave permission to both of them. They ride on the road on the horses. Allahu Akbar. When they went into the battlefields, they went enter into the battlefield, the enemy start laughing and said, oh, they are just kids. They are just kids. And anyone can handle them. So they send some soldiers just like that. But when they saw these kids moving their hands and swords and beheading those enemies just like carrots, they realized that they are not any other kid. They are the grandsons of Ali ibn Abi Talib. They are the grandsons of Ja'far al-Tayyar. Then Amr ibn Sa'd send some more stronger people. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And they were being covered from all sides with enemy. And enemies started fighting them. Then a sound, the voice came, a nida came from the Faisal Fee. Allahu Akbar alayka minni salam, ya Aba Abdillah, accept our last salam. Oh my uncle, oh Imam Hussein, accept my salam. Assalamu alayka, ya Aba Abdillah, wa alal الأرواح التي هلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم جميع شهداء كربلاء ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرام وبدم مقتول بكربلاء يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله